Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today we hear a parable about people who are waiting. You have a bit more experience in this area than you did a week ago. And I think we are all still absorbing the experience of waiting, of longing, of what it means to press forward and to cultivate hope in the midst of pain and confusion. This is actually a disposition that the church often takes. We are a people who wait. And that may not be the most comforting thing to hear this morning. I don't know that waiting and hoping of this week was a great experience for any of us. But perhaps this kind of waiting is a helpful reminder about the particular kind of waiting that the church does. We stay awake. Jesus tells his disciples a story. There are these 10 bridesmaids and they're waiting for a groom to show up. And they have these lamps that are lit by oil and they wait. And the groom doesn't show up and they keep waiting. The night wears on and eventually they slump to the floor one by one. Their eyes grow heavy. The night wears on and they all fall asleep. And while this is happening, the oil keeps burning. Suddenly the groom returns and the bridesmaids awake with a start. Their lamps are almost out of oil. They need more. It's interesting to hear that the moral of the story at the end is stay awake, because both foolish and wise bridesmaids end up falling asleep on the ground outside this party hall. The heart of the problem actually seems to be running out of oil, not falling asleep. But we may be also able to see how these things are connected. If the bridesmaids had not noticed they were low on oil, if they had noticed, they could have come up with a plan. Instead, they show up with almost no oil in their lamps. They let them burn through the night. Then the groom shows up and the wise bridesmaids can refill the oil with this extra, and the foolish are left in the dark. And so Jesus gives us this takeaway: stay awake. And do you know what that means? We are all the foolish bridesmaids in this story. Jesus isn't asking us to figure out which camp we fall into, the prepared, the unprepared. Jesus doesn't point out that a few disciples are wise and the rest of them need to get their act together. What they're all facing, even in this moment, is the problem of coming unprepared and then falling asleep. So today we're not here to figure out which category we fit into. Instead, this is a warning to each of us about the lives we live, about getting out of living lives that are pointed towards destruction and death. Or will we stay awake, ready to come up with a plan if we need to refill these ever-emptying lamps? So this parable we heard today is actually one in a set of three. And in each, there is a surprise. People are shocked to discover they are on the wrong side of God's story. Sheep are separated from goats. This worker is stunned to discover that this prudent plan for hiding treasure in the ground to keep it safe is actually met with wrath. I think we're meant to sense this growing anxiety as we read these stories. What is this oil? How do we stay awake? How do we know that we're not hiding treasure entrusted to us and instead putting it to use? This anxiety grows and grows and grows until we come to the final story. And this one isn't a parable. It's an unveiling. It's a revelation of the end. And this is what Jesus says.
Matthew 25. Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.
Jesus goes on and he says, to those on his left hand, I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you didn't welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. They also answered the Lord, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or strange, a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not care for you? And he answers them, truly, I tell you, just as you did not do these things to the least of these, you also did not do them to me. That's it. All along, we were anticipating this incredibly difficult thing. You might have assumed that we needed to keep stringent rules or undertake monumental tasks of charity. You might have thought that we were expected to live these righteous lives of superhuman moral perfection. Instead, we're asked to stay awake to the suffering around us and to see Jesus there. We're asked to keep looking for people who are struggling to survive and to put our lives on their side. We're asked to build a world that's good for them because it turns out that this is a world that's good for all of us. That this is good news, a world where God's love and reign and justice draws us towards one another. That's it. Stay on the lookout for those people. Keep the lamp filled. And when it gets empty, find other people to fill you up who have more than enough and can help you when you have nothing. And if you do that, you'll find that you're already living a good life. A life that begins right now and extends forever into eternity. And if not, if you fall asleep to the suffering of the world, then you're already living in suffering and destruction, not just for your neighbor, but for yourself. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing near. It is even now. This is the second week now that we've been pointed in the direction of the apocalypse. Last week we read from Revelation, and together we learned that John isn't describing some far off land in the future. John is actually describing his present reality. He's describing the terror and violence we leash upon one another and on creation. And the same is true this week. That oil in the lamps is the work of the Spirit, the work of God among us. It is the strength and power we gather from others, even when we are unprepared, and offer it back as a gift to the world. It is the work of the Spirit among the poor, among those in prison, among the disenfranchised, the undocumented, the sick. We are asked to keep our eyes open, to stay awake now, because Jesus is literally everywhere, everywhere, just waiting for us to see him. So if you aren't sure what you're supposed to do, or what to believe, or what to support, or how to act, or what to do next, Jesus gives us this simple command. Keep your eyes open. Keep the oil filled with God's love. Keep your eyes open for people who can fill you up. The people on this screen who are God's beloved church. Keep your eyes open for people harmed by generational violence of racism. Keep your eyes on children separated from parents at the US-Mexico border. Keep your eyes on people with mental illness who are unhomed, who are lonely and afraid. That's it. Put yourself there. Put your life there. Put your hope here. Put your future here. because that is the place where we will find Jesus. Amen.